The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Ever you're taking us in, we appreciate it. We are grateful. I don't just say that. We really are truly grateful for allowing us to be part of your morning each and every morning. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here.
I'm extremely grateful for a studio. It is nice.
I still don't know what to do with our arms.
It's so quiet, doesn't it feel? I'm almost lonely. Like, where's, like I need someone, like, passed out in that chair or something.
We had some tweets about people saying, can we get somebody with a cigar behind you?
Right, yeah. Like, I feel like I'm doing something wrong if there's not, like, bells and whistles going off around us or something.
Or something. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Indiana Jet. By the way, Indiana Jet, not just some random.
No, not
dude,
at all.
Dude, Indiana Jet, one of the four choppers at the end of Survivor last year. This is responding to the video you had of me making a bet this morning. Is that a duffel bag? I can't read this, by the way.
I thought
was Gil secretly duffel bag boy all this time? I was not.
I posted a great creepy video of me videoing Gil this morning. It's on my Twitter if you want to check it out.
Thank you, Indiana Jet, for chiming in on that. You guys can just rifle through these. This is from Touchdown Jesus. Was that the Iceman? He's calling me the Iceman. Yeah. He said, and then was that the Iceman, Gillian? And then he goes into, are we allowed to quote R. Kelly lyrics anymore? Are we allowed to do this?
Tennis grind.
I don't see nothing wrong. Doug Tuttle 7. Is anyone going to touch on the, we didn't talk about this. Is anyone going to touch on the Florida State fan that said he'd eat dog poop, technical term, if they lost to BC? Apparently he's deleted his account and now Florida State is cursed.
I try not to give anybody crap about things like this, because, like, I don't know about you, but the first first week in Nevada, I said Nevada and quickly got corrected by Matt Humans and then anybody else that heard it. So I know people are passionate about it. Who's ever written Florida State that way?
Terrible. It's terrible. So, yeah, all right. For God's sakes, put the U on there. If they are truly a university. If that's real.
That's a good point.
By the way, that's so funny about Nevada. Chrissy, my mishpucha, was the first person to tell me. I think it was like after a few months, he let me say Nevada months. He goes, you know, Gilly, you've lived here long enough. That kind of thing. Cowboys_Cubs1, primetime. He says, I'm sorry, in Bidlin voice. I wish Kelly would be a tad more passionate about FSU football rather than his laid back under the influence of Valium unenthusiastic take to start the show. By the way, some of us may have Muhova to win her quarter at 150-1 at faraway places. Wait a minute. To win her quarter at 150-1? Or do you mean the tournament? How are you going to get her quarter at 150?
I don't know. That winking emoji makes me think really is the quarter.
Maybe he's right. I don't know. We talked about the quarter.
What's your number on the quarter?
10-1.
Was it a rogue zero situation? Rogue extra zero?
I mean, there's no chance that should be a real number. Right. So I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea.
I love the rogue extra zero. It's very rare.
Bernaracci, I believe is how you pronounce this. Missing the endless loop of Like a Rock Against the Wind and Hollywood Nights. Bring back Seeger now.
Would make me feel a little bit more comfortable. Yes, just a little Seeger in the background.
Derek Stevens, his number one thing at the D was, I must eliminate the McDonald's. His number two thing was Seeger all day long, 24/7.
Seeger all day long.
Derek Stevens, two mission statements for the D. Jets Pete. As a Mets fan, hearing Chris Flexen set a record for most consecutive losses is literally the least surprising news ever. Congrats on getting in a studio. Thank you. I appreciate the congrats. Yeah, Flexen. But when he was with the Padres, remember there was like a half a season where he was awesome. Torched D15. I sell Pokemon for a living.
Do you know Jason Weingarten?
It might be Jason Weingarten. I sell Pokemon cards for a living, so naturally I have time to listen to Visa 24/7. Lately, a numbers game has made me more money than my entire career. Gil on tennis, Dinsick on the Olympics, Dr. Bob on NCAA football. Ooh. What a ride. Let's go Diamondbacks. Let's go Grigor, 130-1.
That one is live.
Wow.
I'm very jealous of that career. Selling Pokemon cards. I got a lot of cards. I got baseball, basketball, Magic the Gathering cards.
Gathering.
Oh, yeah. I was a Magic the Gathering guy.
Magic, comma, the Gathering.
That's right. Actually, I believe it's a colon. I believe it's Magic colon the Gathering. Yes.
Oh, exactly.
So I got into poker, really. There's a lot of poker players that have that background, actually.
you're right about Jason. Like, Jason Weingarten will surprise me. He'll be like, yeah, the claw machine, you know. But by the time we got to the claw machine, we were like, oh, yeah, sure.
Right, right. That's not surprising hearing from, that come from him anymore, but I still love the idea of the claw machine. It's amazing.
Claw machine update coming up. All right, Survivor talk. We started this earlier, and I just want to give some guardrails for the new Survivor players, for those who are just sort of need reminders on stuff. Or not even reminders, but like some things to sort of think about. Maybe you agree with, maybe you disagree with. But I just talked about the sort of the thought exercise I did with Parlay, Jeff Parles, a few years ago, and just why you should not take Survivor literally. At some point, the object is to win, not to survive. And that right there, that mental toggle, if you will, is, I think, the biggest challenge of all of this, which is you have this entry. It's so much fun playing. You want to survive, but really, if you survive conservatively, you're not going to win. That's the main thing I want to say about that. That said, I don't think you get too cute early. I should point that out. I said in the docuseries, in the Quest for $9.2 million docuseries, that, you know, someone who maps it out on their napkin for the entire season, they put me against crack on this. I think that's kind of ridiculous. I do think, though, that you do play it conservatively the first 4 or 5 weeks, because while we prattle on about the NFL all offseason, the truth is that none of us can be that sure about how good or bad these teams are going to look out of the gate. We have some idea, but invariably we're going to be wrong. And 70%+ of Survivor entries get knocked out the first 3 weeks anyway. So I do think you should, and that is a reflection of how the market is not what we've, you know, not correct. It's not what the public perceives it to be. So I do think you try to get conservative the first 4 or 5 weeks, Kelly. And then after that, because even the best handicapper doesn't exactly know what's happening at this point. But I think once you get through weeks 5 or 6, then you can sort of get into a, okay, I've come this far. Let me sort of map out some stuff.
I stand by everything that Gil just said, agree with it completely. I think that's easier said than done with week one this year, though, right?
I agree.
This is week one right away. Oh, boy, totally. There are not many gimmies here.
Because, again, I ended up with 5 entries and a 6 that my buddy wanted to share with me.
You signed up?
Yeah.
I haven't done my signups yet.
Signed up on Friday, I acquiesced. He's like, let's do one together. I'm like, okay. So I don't know. Some of mine are going to be Bengals, but not all of mine are going to be the Bengals. Some of mine are going to be the Saints, but not all of mine are going to be the Saints. So
I mean, these are your biggest favorites. Your biggest favorites for week one: Bengals 8.5, Bills 6.5, Seahawks 6, Bears 4.5, Saints 4.
I am so not touching the Bills, Seahawks, or Bears.
I was just going to say, like, you're talking about not getting too cute. I might be getting a little cute, but just because I feel like there's not a ton of options that are not cute.
How many entries are you going to have?
2, I believe.
All right. I don't know how cute you can get, though.
Want to burn Bengals early, man. Like, I really don't want to burn that one.
The Saints, the reason I land on the Saints again is that is the natural. This is the most natural spot to take the Saints for the entire season. Know the size of your pool. Know the size of your pool. That's always going to matter. And know on a week-to-week basis what the general Survivor pool of players is going to play. Because once you get past that 5-6 week Survive in Advance part, you really should employ game theory. And what I mean by that is the smaller your Survivor pool, maybe you're not in Circa, the smaller your Survivor pool, generally the more conservative you ought to be. The wider it is, you know, thousands of people, the more risks you're going to have to take. That applies to daily DFS as well. That's just a common thing to know. Here's one that I think we should sort of keep in mind. Often the best, the option that is just a few percentage points lower in win probability, but is far less popular than the most popular pick, is the great pick. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the pick that is going to be much less selected in a week of Survivor, but in terms of win probability, say in the betting market, is just a notch below that. That's sort of a Survivor sweet spot. You may not follow that every week, but there are inevitably going to be weeks in the season where that's the best strategy to employ. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Specific pool rules, obviously, Circa. You have to know that Christmas. You have to know these up front too. If Christmas and Thanksgiving, those quirks exist, then that's the first thing you have to know about a pool, right? Because you can't operate from the beginning without knowing what you have to save for those very small windows of games. So that's obviously the quirks you have to know. One myth that I want to dispel too. You often hear people on a week to week basis saying, "Oh, it's a division game. I don't want to touch a division game." Kelly, that's based on the belief that upsets are more likely when two division rivals get together, obviously.
Sure, they know each other better than other teams.
And it may sound good as sort of like a sound bite, but the evidence does not support it whatsoever. I'm here to tell you. Since 2002, among teams favored by 5 or more points, division favorites have actually won a higher percentage than non-division favorites. So again, of the parameter of 5 or more points, the division versus division favorites, right, actually hit at a higher rate than non-division favorites do, 5 points or more. So keep that in mind. So you're going to hear people, "Oh, division game. I don't know if I'm going to take Team A over Team B, even though they're a 6-point favorite at home." No, it hits at a higher rate than like a non-division such situation. But I will say this, road favorites do lose more money than home favorites. That is one that you do hear that is actually true, because people are like, "Oh, I don't know, road favorite." That one actually is true.
Yeah.
So just keep in mind that division thing is largely a myth. Anyway, just some Survivor thoughts that we hadn't really talked about this offseason.
It's great. Yeah, it's great to reset and get give some basic kind of guardrails and just advice for a lot of people that are. I mean, look, we talk about it every year at this point, but still every single year, there's more and more people signing up for the very first time that need to hear this stuff.
Yep.
49ers money coming in. We're up to 4.5 in places.
I done told you.
Shocker.
And it's only going to get higher. I'm going to say it's going to get back to 6 by game time. If not in the next 6 couple days.
Wow, okay. All right.
That's what it was before.
No, I know.
That's what it was before. We'll come back. Tyler Shoemaker joins us to talk some WNBA. That's on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
College football underway, and a special numbers game investigation revealed that the NFL is kicking off this week, 2 days away.
Let's go.
There's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Make this football season your best ever with full VSiN Pro access to our daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, data, top-rated betting systems, 24/7 video analysis, plus our updated NFL betting guide with post-preseason updates for every team, new insight on players to watch, week one betting systems, and of course, more best bets. Grab our football season special. Get full VSiN Pro access from now through the Super Bowl for just $175 United States dollars. Or start a monthly subscription for just $9.99. See why VSiN Pro is your ticket to winning season. Don't wait. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up and watch or listen to us anywhere you go. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book, Kelly. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. Ed Hamilton. Gil, East Coast bias in full effect. Lindor. Francisco Lindor could be gifted the MVP if the Mets make the playoffs. It's all I hear out here. And then he curses.
Then he curses.
Yeah. I just
plus
cannot.
+650.
I cannot believe. I cannot believe this. Ohtani could go 50-50. What do you have? 3 stolen bases again yesterday?
Yeah. What are we? 45-40? I don't even know which way it goes. 40 something home runs and 45 stolen bases?
There's East Coast bias, then there's an insane East Coast bias. I'm not sure we can buy into that. But I hear what you're saying. Good friend, Shillionaire. Austin Wells, American League Rookie of the Year, is alive and thriving, as you say. He said he's the only AL rookie in the top 2 in both WAR and WRC plus as of 4 days ago. I may or may not have a 151 ticket in hand. He admits I do. Thanks for letting me rant. Have a good day. Long shots gives you a shout out.
Long shots. 44 home runs, 46 stolen bases for Shohei right now.
So what is it again?
44 home runs, 46 stolen bases. So 45-45. He's definitely going to get in that club. Is he going to hit 50-50?
He's got a good shot.
He doesn't look like he's slowing down anytime soon.
Only been done again 6 times, Shohei being the 6th. Mickey Mantle, of course, for like the old timers. They interviewed Mickey Mantle when Jose Canseco got to 40-40. He was the first. And they interviewed Mickey Mantle at the time. Mickey Mantle was like, "Well, if I knew that was going to be a thing, I'd have done it every year," or something like that. He said. Steve the Proxy. That's terrible, Mickey Mantle. The Proxy. As a lifelong Mets fan, I can tell you when I was 12, Anthony Young lost 27 consecutive decisions over 2 seasons. I've been rooting for extended futility for Flexen, former Met, to take this horrific record out of Mets lore. Those sober 90s Mets were brutal. We'll read a whole bunch more of your tweets coming up. I want to get to Tyler Shoemaker, though. He is a VSiN contributor focusing on both the NFL and the WNBA, which he does great stuff on. Tyler, thanks for joining us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
We showed a video of you dunking the basketball on air the other day. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. How tall?
I was not aware of that.
How tall are you, and how easily can you dunk? First thing.
I'm 6'1", and I can dunk, you know, off of two steps. I can't dunk off a vert, but I, you know, give me a step or two, and I can dunk it pretty easily.
Wow.
I mean, our video system's down right now. That's what I'm hearing. Otherwise, we'd be showing it, Tyler. I thought it was extremely impressive. I wanted to know how many other people at VEASAN could secretly dunk that I was unaware of. Tim Murray did send in a video of him dunking a couple years ago.
Tim is what, 6'6"?
But he's like 6'6", yeah. I didn't think Tyler was all that tall. I was right. 6'1", he's got hops, man.
Thank you.
I was going to start with football because we talked football in the promo. We'll get to your football thoughts momentarily, but let's talk WNBA. Eight-team playoff, first series is a best of three, then it goes to best of five afterwards. Just in terms of the outrights right now, do you have thoughts?
You know, I'm not a huge futures guy or series price guy when it comes playoff time. I take it more game by game, just because it's a whole different exercise to come up with that math on top of doing the individual games. But in terms of just how I think the playoffs could play out, I mean, the Liberty right now are by far the number one power rated team by almost two full points. But behind them, I mean, it's kind of just a hodgepodge of teams that have really high ceilings, but have also shown low floors. I mean, obviously the Aces, back-to-back champs, but they lost to the Wings last week. So it's like, you don't know what team's going to show up on any given night. I think the Liberty have been the most consistent this year, although they've had a couple clunkers here lately as well.
Yeah, Liberty plus 125 to win the WNBA championship. Aces, the Las Vegas Aces, who are not quite the same Aces team this year as they have been, 3-1. Then you got the Lynx, the Sun, the Storm, and the Fever, 19-1. If Caitlin Clark and the Fever make a deep playoff run, can you imagine?
It will be huge. Tyler, I'll ask you real quick. Do you have more faith in the Aces or the Lynx once you get deeper into the playoffs right now? Because, I mean, what, Lynx are the team that's been doing it all regular season. Like you said, the Aces have been up and down.
Yeah, it's tough because the Aces have what I would consider championship fatigue. I talk about this a lot where the Warriors come to mind in the NBA, where when you're making deep playoff runs year after year, you eventually just get tired of playing hard in the regular season. And I think the Aces are running into that this year. So in a playoff series with their experience and Asia Wilson, the best player in the world, I wouldn't want to bet against them, but the Lynx have definitely been more consistent. And I think defensively they do it in a way that I think is more repeatable in the playoffs. You know, they're not relying on just like hot 3-point shooting or something like that. They kind of get nitty gritty, down and dirty on defense. And I think that can win a championship, but I wouldn't want to bet against the Aces and Asia Wilson.
What plays did you land on today, Tyler?
Today I am on the Sun Storm over the Mercury and Dream under 160.5. And I took the Mystics plus 5. And then tomorrow we got Caitlin Clark and the Fever playing the Sparks, and I took over 172 in that game as well.
They're going to go over their season win total, aren't they? We have a lot of friends that have the under, and they are sweating it now.
Yeah, I project them right. The line was 21.5 before the season. I've got them projected at 21.4 right now. Whoa. So it is going to be an absolute sweat.
Oh, man. All right, NFL Week 1. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, Tyler, but it is upon us. 2 days away. Or the Thursday night opener. Then we have a game in Brazil, obviously, on Friday between the Eagles and the Packers, and then full Sunday slate beyond that, with the exception of the Monday night game. What are you doing week one?
Yeah, week one, you mentioned the Brazil game on Friday. I like the over 49, or I think there's some 48.5s maybe out there trickling in. But I like the over in the Eagles-Packers game. Is a matchup where I've got two highly rated offenses and two defenses that are kind of middle of the pack in my rating. So I think it could be more of a fireworks show. I'm curious to see how that plays out, but that's one that I like a lot. And then Thursday, Chiefs Ravens. I'm excited for that. I project that game more like a pick 'em. So I'm going to take the 3 with Baltimore. And then another one that I like that I gave out today at VEASAN.com, Steelers Falcons under 42. Really like that because I think there's a lot of quarterback uncertainty with the Steelers. Obviously, the Falcons, they draft Michael Penix. They got Kirk Cousins, but their defense is excellent. The Steelers always play excellent defense as well. So I think that's just going to be a rock fight.
Tyler, I want to congratulate you because earlier on the show I said I haven't heard one person take the Ravens in this, so thank you for taking the Ravens.
That is true. Yeah. I haven't either. Yeah.
As contrarian as Joe Cirillo's Steelers over play.
Or Steve Mackinnon's Patriots over.
Or Steve Mackinnon's Patriots over. But for this game, I appreciate it very much. So same thing, WNBA as NFL, you don't touch futures as well or season longs?
Not really. I mean, I do it and I put them out, you know, on my guides and things like that. And I'll write about them. But I personally just don't play that many of them in my portfolio.
Okay. And repeat your Sunday play one more time for me.
Sunday was Falcon Steelers under 42.
I like that. And the theory being just that you don't believe in the Steelers offense and you do in the Steelers defense.
Yeah. And the Falcons defense was top five in the league last year, my rating. So I think both defenses will show up to play, and I don't really know what to expect from the quarterback situation for either team.
All right. College football. And I know you don't have any, you're not necessarily a pick moving forward, but give us your biggest takeaway from what we've seen here this past week, in your opinion.
I mean, obviously with two data points now on Florida State, it's hard to justify the preseason ratings that, you know, myself and pretty much everybody had on them. You know, I did feel like I was a little lower than the market on them coming into the season, but apparently not low enough because they've been atrocious. One thing that I do feel kind of vindicated about a little bit, it was Clemson and really just the ACC in general. I came into the season, my numbers were very low on the ACC, almost to the point that I was a little uneasy how far off market I was on some of those teams. But ACC has looked atrocious through, you know, week zero and week one so far.
Ex-Miami, as we like to say, with the exception of Miami, absolutely atrocious. Tyler, appreciate it. At T Shoe Index, what is the Tyler Shoemaker Index for everybody?
Yeah, it's just an opponent and tempo adjusted rating system that I use for all sports, basketball, football, both college and pro.
Appreciate it, Tyler. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Tyler Shoemaker, VSiN contributor at T Shoe Index, Shoe. Like in Shoemaker, by the way. A couple of wide receiver notes here before we go to break. Ricky Pearsall, shot in San Francisco, broad daylight, Union Square on Saturday, a mile and a half away from me, out at least four games on the non-football injury list. And then the Bengals, Kelly, with Ja'Marr Chase, his availability remains up in the air. Less than a week, obviously, before the season opener, Zach Taylor, the coach, saying that Chase remained day-to-day as he continues not to practice while he awaits the status of a contract extension. Monday was the team's last practice before game week officially begins. So we shall see with Ja'Marr.
Kind of don't believe it still. I think he'll be signed by the time we kick off.
I never know with these guys.
Me either, but...
Never know. Really don't know. We'll come back. More NFL, more college football, more baseball. It's a numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa. Beautiful Circa Resort Casino. Downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Paul Spohr standing by. Talk Major League Baseball with us. We get tweets. Best listeners in the game. I just want to rifle through some of y'all's tweets here. Numbers guys, is that Giller crack with the tightest rolled 10K stacks? Always crack with the money.
Oh, yeah. Perfectly. I really want him to do it in front of me like it's origami or something like that. Or I need to be taught how to do it. It's very impressive.
This is great. This is from The Truth 1980. As a loyal listener, every time I hear how bad the White Sox are, all I can think of is how those three wins against Cleveland in May cost you the monthly bet. Mm. Yes. We were one out away from winning it in March, April, but the White Sox murdered the Guardians three times in the month of May. Corbin, you know, ANG is deeply rooted in my day-to-day life. When I wake up during the Florida State BC game last night, and all I can think of is how pissed off Kelly, he said Kelly Buddy, I think he means Kelly Bidlin, Kelly Buddy, who got the FSU future as a wedding gift. Buddy, he left out the possessive. Kelly's buddy who got the FSU future as a wedding gift should have burned the cash in front of him. Nice gift, Kelly.
I did send my friend John this tweet because I know he was on a nice long honeymoon in like Thailand or something like that, somewhere great. So I was like, I don't even know that he's opened up gifts yet. Like he might not even know it's a complete dead ticket. So I sent him that tweet, And he was like, oh no, I opened it up like 2 days ago.
So wait, yeah. that was your wedding gift
to
him?
It was part of it. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's a bride and groom. I'm not just going to give just a Florida State national championship.
That's what I
thought. It was that and some cash.
I thought they pointed you to a registry and you're like, I got something better for you.
I went straight cash and then for my boy, a Florida State natty ticket that has not aged very well.
Larry Fresh, congratulations for getting in the big house. No more bar candidates. Kind of weird not hearing slot machines in the background. I'm sure Crackman will be happy no one is smoking in his face anymore. Kevin Ryan, Gil, my survivor strategy this year is quite simple. Each week, I will look to fade either the Patriots, the Giants, or Carolina, which leads me to my week one pick of the New Orleans Saints. What say you? I like New Orleans because there's no other natural place to play them. And I did mention on the Questor $9.2 million docuseries, that is often the simplest survivor strategy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pick on a team that if a team truly reveals themselves to, what's the technical term, suck, going after them is a great. I did that with the Jaguars and the Jets in 2020, where I got to week 14 and then it nipped me in the butt.
I think that will be my plan overall will be targeting Giants, Patriots, Steelers.
Yeah. Johnny Vegas, are you still doing guessing the lines with Kelly this year? Yes, Kelly Bidlin back in the fold for guessing lines, which starts on Monday. By the way, first Megapod is today. After this show, I am racing at 95 miles per hour, Las Vegas Police Department, to get home to do the podcast.
I would really be more comfortable if you left yourself more time for things in life after the show.
No, I'll do that.
He's the guy who takes flights at like 9:53 a.m.
Yeah, it's bad.
He's like, I got plenty of time.
Gil, 3JackH3131, I found a 100-1 on Muhova at a faraway place as well to win the quarter.
Whoa!
Where was this place? Why didn't y'all tell me?
You suck at this, Gil.
Jesus. Was that an off number? Ed Hamilton, we need a tennis update on the Sunday match with Fez. Did you cover the +3? First of all, it was not +3. It was -3. I am always the favorite against Fez. And the answer is we split sets yesterday after I crushed him the previous time. And the reason we split sets is because you know what Stevie does? He is such a little finagler. He comes with the world's most bounciest tennis ball. So you like had to spend a whole set adjusting to it. It's a whole thing. Guy looks for any angle he can possibly find. It's just horrible. Paul Spohr joins us now to talk some Major League Baseball at Spohr on Twitter. Fangraphs is where he plies his trade. Courtesy of the Progressive guest line, Paulie, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going very well. Will Hill just sent me this sort of contextual tweet about how bad the Chicago White Sox are. This is unbelievable. Zach Greinke. I'm not sure if you're aware. Zach Greinke was a pitcher, Paul. Zach Greinke had a career 3.36 slugging percentage. 3.36. Oh, the 2024 Chicago White Sox slugging percentage is 3.38.
That's impossible. Like, that's impossible. Wow. It's so bad. You know, their big power hitter was Paul DeJong. He's gone now. Yeah, they're horrendous. And, I mean, it's shades of the 03 Tigers for sure. It's just a dreadful, dreadful team right now. They made the manager switch, but with all due respect to Grady Sizemore, who I do like getting in there, until they make an owner switch, I just don't know how good things are going to be there. And I know, I think Bulls fans share that sentiment with Reinsdorf.
We were going over awards markets that we think are still alive and still done.
Right.
MVP, Cy Young, and Rookie of the Year. My conclusion was the only ones that are still up for grab are National League Cy Young between Sale and Wheeler, and also American League Rookie of the Year between Cowser and Wells. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, that feels pretty good. It's just going to be really hard for anyone to take down Judge or Otani. You think Scooble's got it that locked? I mean, I hope you're right, obviously, as a big Tigers fan. And he just keeps getting better. And, you know, if people had, like, really listened in or investigated a little further, I think they wouldn't have been less scared. But I think maybe even you and I talked about A.J. Hinch mentioning after the Little League World Series game there with the Tigers and Yankees that Scooble wasn't going to start anymore on regular rest necessarily. But he didn't say that was because they were going to measure or, like, you know, scale him down all that much. I think he was just pointing out that the schedule is really beneficial to get Scooble the rest he needs without the Tigers having to downshift him. Plus, Tigers were a much worse team during that start. I know that was only 2 weeks ago, but they were a much worse team. Now they're over 500. So if you're worried about any of that, and maybe that was giving you an angle toward like a Class A or a Burns, I think that's cut off. I think Scooble's going to get the innings he needs, and I agree that he is pretty far out front there.
Did you think Clase ever had a chance?
No, I'm not a reliever as Cy Young guy at all. And I just can't believe we live in a world where a reliever's gotten an MVP before. Listen, sorry, Willie Hernandez, 1984 with my Tigers, but give me a break. Now, he threw 140 innings. It is a different situation yes. than any reliever today winning. So maybe he's the wrong one to pick on. But didn't Eck win an MVP?
Eck won also an MVP. Gagne was the most recent. Eric Gagne in 2003.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wait, did he win MVP and Cy or just MVP or just Cy?
I think he won just Cy, right? He didn't win MVP, did he?
But even Cy is terrible for it, but let alone the MVP getting in the mix there. So, no, I didn't really think Clase had any chance. And with the lack of like strikeouts that Burns has, Scooble just keeps distancing himself. I think Scooble is the best pitcher in baseball right now. And I don't think that's even Tigers bias. I think that's just using our eyes here to judge the talent.
Yeah. Eric Gagne wasn't winning MVPs when Barry Lamar Bonds was playing Major League
Baseball. That's right. Was he? Still one of the greatest matchups, though. Those two going mano a mano, you know, both fully souped up, if you will, and just having the battle.
Allegedly, you know. Paul, allegedly.
Right. Absolutely no proof from that.
Yeah, no proof. The other thing we talked about is, okay, which division races are over? And right. I said, well, three clearly are, right? Phillies to me is over. Maybe not clearly to some. Phillies is over in the NL East. They're right. going to win it. Brewers, obviously, in the NL Central. And I said the yes. Astros in the AL West, as mediocre as they are, I don't see anybody coming up. I think the other three are still at play, would you say?
Yeah, I totally agree on all that because the M's just simply cannot hit. So I don't know where their surge is going to come from. They'd have to just find lightning in a bottle offensively and start playing better on the road. Those two things would probably go hand in hand, but they're on a lose three right now. So I do think I agree with the Astros. And then you actually have, you know, some people might bounce back, push back and say, well, then Dodgers have a 5-game lead. That's only one game different than the Astros. Yeah, but the Padres and Diamondbacks are good teams.
Yeah.
And they're chasing with everything they've got. And frankly, while I do still respect the Dodgers as a high quality team, where's the pitching, right? Kershaw back on the IL, you know, Glasnow not back. Bueller untrustworthy. So yeah, they definitely do not have that in hand there.
Yeah. The Guardians thing is the most fascinating to me because it's like, okay, it was over, right? The Guardians lead finally right. dissipated after 4.5 months. They lost 3 in a row to the Royals and they beat the Royals in the last game and haven't lost since. They won 4 in a row. The Royals have lost 6 in a row. And now here are the Guardians right. once again are in a position. 2 more against the Royals, 4 against the Twins later. If they just split the rest of those, I think they're winning that division. It's going to be fascinating. Yeah.
Outside of a huge surge by one of those teams, which you just can't really predict, I think you're 100% right yeah. there. And, you know, looked wobbly there because they have not won with pitching this year in Cleveland. So it's a weird setup, but things have gotten more stabilized there. You know, Bibee's been awesome. We talk about Clase really shutting things down. The offense got hot again, and now they have a decent lead, but they are not home free yet. I think the Twins or the Royals could get them. Worst time for a 6-game loser, though. I mean, that's just, I don't want to say it's crushing because whenever we go too definitive with it, the teams will push back. But I do think that that's pretty much the nail in the coffin for the Royals as a division title, not as a playoff team.
Baseball is so good this year. Cannot wait for the postseason. October Same. Is the best month. Weekend football, weekday Major League Baseball playoffs. Can't wait.
Right.
If you could, DFS on the way out, sir.
All right, so you got some studs at the top there, and you can kind of decide where you want to go. If you want to go big on Sales, Skeens, Castillo, maybe Tanner Bibee. Ryan Nelson is an intriguing one who probably won't cost as much, pitching some of his best ball right now at San Francisco. You love the ballpark. The lineup isn't too tough to go against. And then you got a lot of options to go against for offense. Yankees against Heaney. He is a home run machine still. Nick Nastrini for the White Sox, so go for your Orioles. Seattle, I know they don't hit much, but JT Ginn doesn't really shut guys down. And then Braves and Pirates facing Kyle Freeland and Kyle Hendricks, respectively. So lots of avenues to go to today. Should be some big scores out there in DFS.
Paul Sporer, one of the great baseball minds at Sporer. Check him out on Fangraphs. Sleeper in the Bus, name of the podcast. Thank you, Paul. We appreciate it, man. 10-9, right here on A Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers Game live from Circa, right here in downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Have you met my friend Kelly, ladies and gentlemen? Producer number 9.
I'm going to throw off the cameras. Somehow I scooched this way a little bit. I gotta go.
You feel comfortable here?
And I'm still getting there.
I
just ordered a money gun on Amazon, so, you know, just trying to make it feel more like home again, you know?
We didn't get any of these this morning. We got a ton of these yesterday, and we were like, what is this? We didn't think this would be a thing. Now it started again.
I'm shocked by this.
Jason Stark, what the heck is going on? Gil and Kelly sitting on the wrong sides.
So we do have, like, Isaiah's here, you know, directing for us. He's running graphics today, but he's been directing the past couple days, where I don't think we're going to have him regularly. But I wonder if it throws off the crew as much as it's throwing them off. It's like, for years, they watched us 5 days a week on opposite sides, I guess.
Gary G3 Garrison, now you're sitting in the wrong seats? I just can't. Is this really bothering you all this much?
I like the difference too between it's confusing me and you guys are in the wrong seats. Like they're assigned.
Scotty B726, that was an awesome Survivor breakdown. Thank you, Scotty B. Yeah. I hope there was something in there for you to latch onto. Forrest Lehman, Churio. Jackson Churio needs to be injected into the NL Rookie of the Year conversation. Stats are strong, team is achieving, and most importantly, Wells is a Yankee. Yes. Wells is a Yankee. I pointed that part out for sure. People commenting on your video of me betting.
Oh, I love that. I think I love that more than anybody else will actually appreciate it. My commentary. Enhance. I forget what movie it is where they're like, enhance. I'm like, it doesn't really work like that.
Mark Hansen, can you ask Jason tomorrow, Jason Weingarten, if Jackson Churio has any chance at NL Rookie of the Year? Biased as a Brewer fan, but Churio has had a great second half. Rich PSM says, Gil is the duffel bag boy. I knew it until he gives out the sushi place. Larry Fresh, cannot wait for the return of the Megapod. Yes, after this show. So Todd Wishnev, Will Hill, and I, with the rotating guest, week one rotating guest is Steve Fezzik. So we will talk all of our week one bets, off-season stuff. I'm sure Steve will talk about the kickoff rule for 3 minutes longer than you'd want him to. We'll try to maintain that. And Todd wants to hijack the podcast already with Lane Kiffin rant. So I don't know. We'll get into it.
With a Lane Kiffin rant?
He's got stuff to say.
Well, okay. Now that one, I mean, I've been hearing about starting field position all summer. Lane Kiffin rant. That's a must tune into. Because
he had an in game on Ole Miss. Yeah. And he wanted Lane Kiffin to stop pressing. Or he had in game on Furman, I should say, plus 76 or whatever. He'll explain on the Megapod.
Lane Kiffin's just angry against the world always. Yeah. So yeah.
Beating the Book podcast, the Megapod coming up. We'll record it. We'll post it. Brian M. pointing out we had that context on the White Sox slugging percentage being .338, and we mentioned Zach Greinke's career slugging percentage was .336. Just shy of it. Mike Hampton, Brian M. points out, had a .356. 356 slugging percentage, so he actually beat it. Frank Albright, three more Padres wins to go for our season win total to cash. Yes, Frank, I'm all over that as well. And Xavier 82, Jacob, if that Jets at 49ers game gets up to six, I'm definitely taking the plus six with the Jets also. And then he curses. LMAO. No, I said at the beginning, we've already seen it tick up to 4.5. I totally believe that. If you're on the Niners, you should be betting it this morning. You should have already bet it because the Trent Williams news that came down, pardon me, is that they've reached an agreement. And that's huge. That's absolutely huge.
Three and a halves are gone.
Gone.
We're painted 4 or 4.5.
Yeah. And if you are a Jets guy, wait. Because I think it is going up to six.
If a six pops, I have a feeling we'll just be in that dead area until kickoff, 4.5 to 5.5. If a six pops, I'll probably be in on the Jets too.
Brad Norwood, it's a real thing. You're in the wrong seats.
It's a real thing.
And then one more. Can we get Delicious as a special guest on the Megapod this season?
That'd be a get.
And ladies and gentlemen, Delicious.
Would the audience rather have Delicious or Antonio Pierce?
Pierce. No, Delicious.
I was going to say.
It's delicious.
That might be more 50-50 than you think.
Just to recap again, the tennis play this morning is Taylor Fritz. The Bedosa-Navarro match is the first one. There's only four matches today, two on the ladies' side, two on the men's side. But the Bedosa-Navarro match is first. We obviously have our quarter on the line in that. There's no play on the individual match itself, and then it is the Taylor Fritz Sasha Zverev match. These are all at Arthur Ashe now. They're all playing in the stadium, and we are on, or I am on, Taylor Fritz. But if you're following, we are on Taylor Fritz today, who right now, again, I got at VSiN.com/picks 4 subscribers, every host, every guest, every sport, all of our picks there at VSiN.com/picks. But if I go to that line right now, I was saying there was a plus 170 at Circa this morning, which was the best I had seen. Now, as I view it, looking at a consensus line on Taylor Fritz, if you are interested in betting it and have not yet, it is plus 155. So a few pennies better than I had it last night. But this plus 170 at Circa was, I was like, what is this?
Oh, I'm betting that after the show. Plus 170, that's the outlier.
Yeah. And I listen, again, I'm saying Sasha Zverev probably should be a short favorite in this match, but short, like super short. If you're into head-to-heads, which I'm not really, they've met 7 times. Sasha Zverev has won 4 of those 7. But if you look at 6-month and 12-month hardcore data, which is our, you know, which is how I handicap everything here, and it's been tremendous on hardcourts, there is no way that Taylor Fritz should be this long of a dog in there. So that's the play today. That's the only play today. We sort of tipped off a play tomorrow. I haven't entered it yet, but I'm looking at that Alex de Minaur match because that's down to minus 127 on the Demon, the Australian, against Jack Draper. So I think I'll crunch it a little more today, but I think that's where I'm going to go tomorrow. But Fritz is the play today.
I like it.
And Zach is on Dimitrov against Tiafo. Dimitrov is minus 172. His numbers are way better. Zach is right, way better than Tiafo, but I'm not getting in front of that weird New York night match Tiafo thing.
I think he's the easiest guy to root for on tour anyways for me, is Francis Tiafoe. So I'll be rooting for him.
We didn't get to these yesterday, yeah. Kelly. You wanted to get to these,
We figured we'd split it up kind of all week, you know, going over our team futures, player futures. So you only had a couple, right? Player future-wise, rookie of the year, right? I've got a few. Anthony Richardson, you might have heard about that on other shows. It's okay, Sharp Money. It's okay. Wait, talk to me. Talk to me after week 3. I need their schedule in front of me. I don't know who they've got the first few weeks. 40-1, though. This is an aim high on the Colts. I think this is a team that is going to – they could have a low-floor, high-ceiling type year, but I think it's all about the quarterback. So if you're thinking it's all about the quarterback and this team gets up into double-digit wins – how much he's probably a part of the MVP conversation. So 40-1, I like it. A little bit of a flyer. I don't really do much in the MVP market preseason unless you're looking at long shots. So that's really my only long shot. The next 3, I bet really right after the draft. Coleman, rookie of the year, that was 50-1. So yeah, I know that has been cut down. So 50-1 I have on Keon Coleman. Now, I also bet 18-1 on Xavier Worthy, which you can get at a much better price right now. I believe he's in the 20s. So you can bet that. I do like Worthy as that rookie receiving yards leader. That's actually my favorite bet out of those at plus 850. I think he's just going to have a big year being able to stretch the field for Patrick Mahomes. And then Mike McDonald, coach of the year, 20-1. Love that one. I love these last 2, especially with the numbers I got them. It's McDonald coach of the year, and then Will Levis lead the NFL in INTs. I think that is going to be such a fun offense to watch this year with them throwing the ball over the place and pushing it downfield, but I also think that's going to lead to a lot of interceptions for old Billy Levis, and I am on board for it. Shout out to Dustin Swedelson, too, because him and I were discussing that on Live Bet Sunday, and he was like, do you see the number they have at Circa on this? Because he was like 10-1, 12-1 everywhere else. I'm like, that's 23-1. Let's ride.
I thought that was your guy, but I understand your reasoning.
I like him. I think he's going to be dynamic. You know, he's a Jameis type, right? Like, I think that's what Jameis. He's going to be. He's going to be tossing all over the field.
We're talking about 40-40s and Shohei going for 50-50. Let us never forget Jameis Winston's 30-30.
One of my favorite NFL seasons of all time.
30 touchdown passes, 30 interceptions.
I believe I was sitting right next to Randy McKay as he was sweating a big contest entry that he had, and I was sweating whether Jameis was going to get to 30-30. That's all I cared about.
How many picks did he throw the last game of the season?
Remember, a pick, and then they went to overtime, and he had to throw a pick six to go to overtime, and then a pick in overtime.
I love Jameis for many reasons, that being perhaps chief among them. I, too, have Mike McDonald for coach of the year, I should mention, and I also have Puka Nacua for offensive player of the
year
at 32-1. My Mike McDonald number is not nearly as good as yours, by the way. I have 13-1, you have 20-1. Stay tuned to VSiN After a numbers game, money moves.
Money moves.
With Stormy Bonatoni and former NFL standout Jeff Schwartz at noon Eastern. Do you think Stormy is aware of Money Moves? She's know that? No?
She yeah,
know
yeah.
That?
I think so.
On the show today, you can catch Tyler Fornes as he breaks down every angle of the NFC North, offering his expert insights and predictions for the season ahead. From team dynamics to key player stats, Tyler's analysis is going to give you a comprehensive look at what to expect in one of the NFL's most interesting divisions. And then after Money Moves, stick around for Sharp Money with Patrick Maher. That starts at 2 p.m. Eastern. And of course, after Sharp Money, Follow the Money. That's where Mitch and Paulie are now at 4 p.m. Eastern. That is the VSiN lineup for at least the early part of the day, right after us. We've done all we can do. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.